This is CliffCentral.com.
It is 6 after 7. It's time for us to find out from Justice Malala what's happening in the burning platform. Brought to you by Nando's every single week, where justice gets into the real issues, the things that everyone's talking about, and we try to make sense of what's crazy.
Burning platform, fired up by Nando's on CliffCentral.com.
Well, Justice, where can we even start? Yesterday in Parliament yesterday. Was crazy. Do you want to start with yesterday?
Let's start with yesterday.
All right.
You know, we've become used to it. So the president is going to speak. The EFF says, no, you can't speak. And it's kind of boring. And I thought, actually, you know, we all stand there and say, you know what's going to happen. I loved a tweet yesterday. Someone said, I've had such a tough day at work. I'm going home now. I'm going to get a beer, sit in front of the telly, watch Parliamentary Channel, okay? That's what our politics have become.
It's become like the Kardashians.
Yeah. It's a reality show, sort of. Kind of, yeah. Somewhere there. But the thing for me was, okay, we know what's going to happen. The EFF gets manhandled, you know, thrown out of the building. And then, you know, the ANC and the DA and all the others keep on going. Let's not forget, by the way, that Cope has said, I don't want to be part of this. So like, they are sitting outside.
What's two people? Or is it
three,
one?
Three.
Okay, but fair. I mean, let's,
there used to be 30, but sure. It's just three now.
But it's a principled stand.
It's a principled stand. So I thought, yeah, so we all say, oh, you know, here we go again. And
sorry,
and
just by the way, how many EFF MPs are there?
There's 27.
26? Yeah, because I said something earlier that I think a lot of people aren't even thinking about right now. But when Cope had their first election, their only real election, they had 30 MPs.
Yeah.
The EFF, with their first election, only 20-something.
26, I think.
26, but I mean, it's still less than Cope. And
yeah.
You know, we were talking, for example, about Limpopo, which we'll get into in a minute. They're still really getting established. I mean, in many wards and councils and municipalities, they don't have people yet.
Yeah. I mean, that story, and we can get back to it, is that Cope, with 1.3 million people who voted for them in 2009, had the 30. The EFF, with 1.1 million, got the 26, 27. I need to get that number right in my head. But By their first birthday, Cope was imploding. Mbazi Mashilowa and Siwa Lukota were pulling in two different directions. Yeah. The factions were at each other's throats. People, allegations of what did you do with the money? What did you do with the money? And so forth. The EFF has reversed that thing and has reversed it for all South African newbie parties. And it's you look at the EFF today, it's still growing. And we'll get back to, you know, the filling up the stadium last Saturday, the Vuani situation and so forth.
All right, but back in Parliament.
So back in Parliament. So I kept on thinking, actually, I'm glad the EFF is doing what it's doing. I'm glad the EFF is saying. And there was a line from, I think it was Mbuyiseni Ndlozi, who said, that guy over there is the one who's been found by the Constitutional Court to have failed to uphold, protect, respect the Constitution. Okay?
Uh-huh.
But I'm the one who's been kicked out. So I've always had my biggest battle with accountability in South Africa has always been shame, a sense of shame about the fact that, you know, Mabale might be my counselor in Hammanskraal or wherever I live. And she's accused of stealing. A court, the Crown Court, says you didn't uphold your oath of office. And she arrives, has a cup of tea, and it's like, hello, business as usual.
It would be like if someone had murdered a member of your family and they just kept coming to birthday parties.
Exactly. It's so that, no, what are you complaining about? But this is big. The fact that the President of the Republic has failed so spectacularly in their duty. Someone needs to remind them again and again and again.
It seems to me we have stricter standards and rules when it comes to teachers in schools, for example. If a teacher so much as puts a foot wrong in most of our South African schools, that teacher's very seldom, I mean, I'm not talking about Sud 2 and teachers who go to Shabins every day, but I'm talking about, you know, if a teacher did something like hit a student or something, or they shouted and screamed in front of the class, they would be reprimanded and they'd probably lose their jobs or at least have to face some kind of censure. Yeah. The president sat there yesterday. He looks completely numb. He looks like he's absolutely impervious to any kind of criticism. He
looks incredibly healthy.
Mm.
So for me, the key thing about what the EFF is doing is actually there has to be some way for the ANC to realize that you can't have this. So there are two. So there's the court case, the Constitutional Court, and what it found. And the fact that in everything that has happened since, so one of the directives from the Constitutional Court was that actually the president needs to reprimand all the people who aided and abetted him. So he wrote a letter saying, I've been asked, and we spoke about this, I've been asked to reprimand you. Consider yourself reprimanded. That's it. That's it. It's not actually what you did was wrong. It's just terrible and you shouldn't be doing that sort of thing. It's okay. So imagine if the EFF was not in the house yesterday. It would have been, oh, here's my speech. And he gave what kind of speech was that? He gave his speech and it's hanky dory and we all go ahead. It's fine. The Constitutional Court has spoken and it's fine. It's absolutely fine. Yeah. And I have a fundamental problem with that. So I'm glad the EFF, I sometimes don't like their tactics and so forth, but actually I'm just glad they did it because someone has to keep on saying, hey, brah, you're naked. Come on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, we're glad they're there.
You know, I mean, it's a big problem for me. So I think all of us should be very happy that, that these issues are being underlined. But it's sad that our parliament, this is our apex institution. This is where my MP goes and stands up for me. And quite frankly, it's not happening.
But if you had voted EFF, you would feel like your MPs were earning their salary.
Exactly.
And even COPE to a degree. I mean, let's give them credit for their principled stand.
No, I think, I think they're missing out on an opportunity. But still, I think that stand is one that says, actually, there is a problem here. And what saddens me is that this constitution was championed by the ANC, and the ANC was sitting there as if it's not this constitution that the ANC people like Albie Sachs...
They were claiming it 2-3 weeks ago.
They claimed it all the time.
They were claiming it in Giani. The president was saying that this constitution is their creature.
But he is undermining it spectacularly with pretty much everything he does. And so I think that's a problem. So I think sad as it is to see these images of MPs, of fights, people were saying that we have some international visitors at the moment who were visiting Parliament yesterday, and that's what they had to see. But quite frankly, someone has to stand up and say, you haven't responded adequately to the fact that the Constitutional Court says you, the custodian of our constitution, have failed to be that. And I think it's a fundamental problem if people don't see that. So I'm very happy. I'm very happy that someone is saying, stop it now. I don't always enjoy the... In fact, sometimes it almost seems embedded in the EFF to say, I don't care about your institutions. I'm going to just continue to do this. But in this case, in the case of what President Zuma has been accused of what he has been found to have failed to do, I think it's absolutely critical that we remind him again and again and again and again and again that actually you need to show serious remorse and for us to find a way to forgive you for what you have done, not the
wishy-washy.
Yeah.
It'll blow over.
Yeah. And that's what he's saying.
Well, it hasn't blown over. I mean, let's look at the president for a second. Something he thought he had dealt with. He got Mokotedimpshe all those years ago to push something under the carpet for him. Now he's got those 783 counts of fraud, corruption, and racketeering back on the cards. That's not a few charges. 783 charges.
783 counts. I tell you, you have to, you know, one day we're going to ask Sia to go and just find out how much has the presidency spent on legal fees from just on everything since May 2009 when President Jacob Zuma walked into office. How much has been spent on paying lawyers to keep him out of jail? I really look forward. You know, it's basically we've just been busy with lawyers it's amazing. But
and of course, we have to pay his legal fees.
We pay his legal fees, and there will be more because, you know, there are people at the National Prosecuting Authority. There are people all over Pretoria running around saying, I've got to find an advocate and so forth. Think about it. In the Constitutional Court case, the number that was bandied about was that Jeremy Gauntlet is on 50,000 rand a day. If he's on 50,000 rand a day, every other advocate was on about the same, let's say, which meant that the EFF's counsel, for example, was paid. The costs were found against the presidency. So we paid for that as well. He wasted our time, and then we had to pay for him wasting our time. It's amazing. But so that's one thing. But what interests me about the 783 counts of corruption, fraud, racketeering. Do you guys know what racketeering is? It's when we organize, I sit here and say, Mabale, you're going to do that. And then, you know, Gareth, you're going to do that. Ben, you do that. And we basically
corner the market.
We corner the market and we zip it up and we do it. That's essentially of all those charges. Okay. So, you know, he received money from Shabir Sheikh and all that and all that. But of all those, it was essentially the whole Gupta story is about how, oh, you know, we're going to, you know, corner the coal supplier. We're going to corner that supplier or whatever. But actually, it was about, it's excluding you and me. It's us saying, oh, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make sure that no new player comes into radio. So we're going to just keep them out.
Mm-hmm.
And so we shut the market.
And the danger for that is if it were companies doing it, it would be bad enough. But when it involves government, you can actually legislate against competition.
Exactly.
You can actually close down people who, you know, that you have the machinery of state behind you. You can start investigating people. You make people nervous. You can affect share prices. You can have SARS look into them.
Uh-huh.
You know, it suddenly becomes very unkind to people who are just trying to make a living.
I think you're using a great word, unkind. I think Machiavellian in the extreme.
Yeah, all right.
You know, you're very kind with your words.
Very good.
So, I mean, this is serious. This is racketeering is a serious charge. It's a bad thing to do. So I think with those 783 counts, what interests me is an aspect of the law which I continue to look forward to people like Pierre DeForce and others enlightening us about it. Because if you say, Mokotedi Mpia said these charges, well, I'm throwing them out and so forth, and the North Gauteng High Court says, actually, you were impulsive, you were disingenuous, you were irrational, and so we're throwing out everything that you said, and the situation holds as it held in early 2009 when you said, I'm no longer charging him. Many legal minds are saying it means that right now there are charges against President Jacob Zuma. 783 counts of fraud, corruption, and racketeering. And if that is the case, then Musi Maimane had a point yesterday in Parliament when he said that you have in the House a man who is an accused criminal now. Those charges, no one needs to go and lay new charges. Yeah. The interpretation is that it now holds that you've struck that off. You're going back to 1 minute before he started saying what he did.
Right.
And therefore the charges are there.
Just by the way, Justice, when something like this happens, in the case of Mokotedi Mshe dismissing these charges and being disingenuous and all the other things that the court said, is there no repercussion, no kind of resultant correction in respect of him? Because when these party apparatchiks do the bidding of their masters in order to achieve a political end which is illegal and unlawful and problematic, surely there must also be a price they pay. Because if they all started to pay those prices, they wouldn't take instruction from their political leadership to do wrongful things.
It is particularly murky in the case of Mr. Mpshe because he had the tapes, but then he went and met with a minister. And after the meeting with the minister, one of the things he said was that, I'm under pressure. Yeah. And suddenly he called a press conference. So he had a chance to say to the minister, actually, minister, this is my call and I'll make the call. I don't need to be too, because we are an independent institution as the National Prosecuting Authority. But he didn't do that. He met the minister and then soon afterwards said, I'm done here. And so it would be interesting to find out what happened between him and that minister. And I think the minister is Jeff Radebe. And so it would be absolutely interesting to find out exactly what goes on and what went on there. In the case of Nkandla, there were many apparatchiks who aided and abetted this. They should be, and there are processes to, according to Tulas Ngesi, who is similarly implicated, discipline them. But will they be disciplined? If we take the matter of the Waterkloof Air Force Base, the person who enabled and did that is now sitting in a very nice ambassadorial post in the Netherlands.
This is the problem. I don't want them rewarded. I don't want them punished. I don't want these people to go to jail necessarily, but I want it to cost them. I want it to cost them in terms of money, because clearly that's something that a lot of politicians are very greedy for. And I want it to cost them in terms of their political power. I wanted to curtail bad behavior, because we're setting an example now where it appears that if you just do as your political masters expect you to do, even if you break the law, you still are okay. You'll be protected.
But I think one of the things we need to talk about the system and the systemic nature of these things, because there is the Public Finance Management Act, for example, where if you spend money on guns, there are clear rules, regulations, and legislation and penalties for all that. What doesn't happen is that we just don't implement the laws. So we do exactly what President Zuma did in the case of the ministers. We say, oh, I've been told to reprimand you. Consider yourself reprimanded.
Yeah.
And that is hugely problematic that we don't even do anything about the laws that we have. So we don't punish those apparatchiks. I mean, you're absolutely right. In the case of Mokotedi Mshe, if a court says you've done this, surely it should now be taken up by the state, by the NPA and saying, what do we need to do, or by the Justice Ministry.
And surely he shouldn't just be able to carry on as a High Court judge if he's been found so much in dereliction of duty.
Exactly, because the only way that he could actually have continued without any problems would have been if he'd been a judge then.
Yeah.
But then he was in the NPA, and that is where the problem lies. If you make a judgment that is overturned as a judge, then that's fine, because it's understood that a higher court may find in a different manner. But this is totally different. So to conclude on the 783 counts, President Zuma essentially has now charges against him. And what will be interesting, and we've spoken a lot on this show about Nomgcobo Jiba, who's one of the deputies at the NPA, who is in charge of all prosecutions. So the charge sheet comes before her, and she says, yeah, Gareth is going down. or not, or we're going for this case and we're not going for that. Well, the head of the NPA, Sean Abrahams, has been, there are question marks, and the question marks are, what will he do? Will he find a backbone and say, yeah, well, we had a case, we're going for it, or is he going to appeal this North Gauteng High Court judgment and go elsewhere?
So the case is actually against the NPA in this situation.
Now the NPA has to show what it's made of.
Hmm.
Now, given that we know the closeness of Nomcobo Jiba to President Zuma, Sean Abrahams is the one with a spotlight on him, and whether he'll do it or not. But I'd like to take a bet.
Okay.
That he's going to appeal this judgment, and he's going to take it further to make sure that the 783 counts don't happen. He's going to appeal this judgment. I am waiting here very patiently for him to surprise me and for me to give R100 to you, Gareth Cliff,
right,
and for me to give R1,000 to a charity of your choice.
All
because
right.
I am confident that he will
that
not
he will do the wrong thing.
He will do absolutely the wrong thing. But I lean towards optimism, and so I'm putting down R1,000 to your favorite charity, R100 to you, my friend.
Thank you.
For a nice vodka and tonic.
done.
But other than that, I don't think anything's going to happen, quite frankly.
All right, bet accepted. We will reconvene in a couple of days' time to see what the result is. Now, Justice, what about the EFF in the Orlando Stadium on Saturday? They are still heady with euphoria over this huge show of power and support.
Yeah.
And for the EFF, this really is the biggest show of support they've ever had.
Yeah, it's a very big one. I always expected them to fill that stadium. I thought they would because I...
Well, that's the way we rank parties at the moment. We saw the ANC couldn't fill Port Elizabeth. We saw the DA did a much smaller stadium, so the EFF had to make a statement.
Yeah, and it did. You know, there's a whole lot of stuff going on with people like Zizi Kotto going on about stadiumology and, oh, you guys are now, you know, experts on stadiums and, oh, who filled up that stadium? That one didn't fill up that stadium and all that and all that. But, you know, I say, if you think about it, one of the most, I thought, interesting things said at the EFF, at the end of the EFF rally was that, I think it was Ndlozi, I'm not sure who it was exactly, but one of the leaders said, all of you came here and you had no food, and all of you are living here, you haven't been given any food, any food parcels. You came here because you wanted to come here. It reminded me of the EFF march on Sandton in last year on the JSE. Same thing. A lot of people said, no, they didn't make the 40,000, the estimated 40,000 that came out. But actually, I think they did. And so this must have the ANC very worried, very, very thinking deeply about what it means. For the EFF, there's possibility that, you know, they could have a big head and start thinking, we are the top guns here. They shouldn't, because it doesn't always reflect in the polls, filling up a stadium. It's the kind of euphoria that Cope could have been accused of. That said, you've got to give it to them. They did good. It was a great job of organizing, and they did it. And you can't ignore it. You mustn't ignore it. I think it's a significant step in our politics.
The other thing that's quite significant is what's happening to workers' movements. There's a lot of talk about COSATU, but then there's a lot of talk about another workers' platform union amalgamation that's going on. What do you make of this?
There are two things. The first one is, man, you know, Zwelinzima Vavi, I'm getting tired now.
Mm.
It's been imagine you keep on saying, I'm starting a new business. I'm starting a new business. It's coming. It's coming. The new business is coming. He's been banging on about this new business since 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014, 15, 16. Gets kicked out of COSATU. There's the. Please.
It's enough now.
Please now. Just launch the thing. Let the workers join. Let's have a thing going on, you know? And then there was the political party associated with it. Oh, the United Front is coming. Oh, the United Front is coming. Julius launches his party, wins some voters through. Oh, no, we are coming. Oh, it's coming. Oh, it's coming. Man, gee. I mean, I've had enough. If you don't show me Ivan Jim again, don't.
Shit or get off the pot.
You know, I mean, really, enough now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all this talk, you know, I'm waiting. Actually, also, I'm done waiting.
Also, if Zweli Mavhavhi isn't going to throw his... I mean, he's losing... Every day he's losing credibility and losing support.
That's
if he doesn't throw what is left of his not insubstantial weight behind the EFF or the DA, it's not going to matter. He's not going to start this thing in time.
No, it's just not going nowhere. The other big challenge, you know, and this is what Zwelinzima Mavhavhi and Ivan Jim and others, they released a report showing that only about 24-26% of workers in South Africa are unionized, that more and more people are saying, hey, you know what, I'll go negotiate with my boss myself. Why should I have all this other stuff? So are they going to go for those 24% who are unionized and so steal COSATU members? Or are they going to go for the 75%, 74% that is not unionized? And will those people say, oh, I want to join a new union. It's going to be nice and happy, happy. It's a big conundrum. I think that they need to ask themselves, why is it young people come into the workplace and are saying, you know what? I'm not going to join a trade union. I'm just going to, you know, knuckle down and do my work.
Yeah.
That's a fundamental question they have to answer. Otherwise, what we're seeing and what we'll see when one day in 10 years when they launch this federation, that federation will be like AMCU and the NUM at Lonmin, where a new union comes in and says, I want your members, goes after the NUM members, and you have terrible, terrible clashes. And people die in those clashes.
Well, speaking of clashes, we know what's been happening, and I've been waiting to ask you this since I woke up this morning. In fact, since last night. There's a place called...
thinking about me.
No. There's a place called Vuani.
Mm.
And the reason I want to ask you is because it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know what to think. I just know that I'm very angry about schools being burnt, because the only losers here are going to be the children of Vuani.
Yeah.
What's happening there? I mean, 15, Mabali tells me. I thought it was 13, but it turns out it's 15 schools have been torched.
Yeah, and it could be worse. I see one of the SABC journalists tweeting that it's 17 now.
Oh my
17
God.
Schools torched. And if that is true, I mean, if it's one school, it's horrible.
It's a tragedy, yeah.
Then you go to 13, then 15, maybe more, but let's say 15. This for me represents a conundrum in our psyche, in our society, about what exactly is protest and what is legitimate protest. The key issue here seems to be that the people of Vuani are saying, we don't want to be part of this new municipality that is being created for the area. We want to be part of the old Makado. It's the whole Malamulela demarcation issue. So on Friday, the courts found against the people of Vuani and said, no, you guys are going to be in the new municipality.
So they burnt down 15 schools.
So you burnt down 15 schools.
Who is behind this? Because I don't even know what demarcation, I don't know where my ward's boundaries are. Do you? I mean, why is this important to ordinary people? Are there better councillors in the next door municipality? Are they both run by the ANC? And if that's the case, then why doesn't the ANC step in and make sure they take care of this? Because it's surely on their doorstep.
I saw the ANC secretary Limpopo Noxiabi was in the area saying, you know, we putting together a task team and so forth. I was sad because that issue has been going on for years. You'll remember Collins Shabane, the former minister who died, came under a whole lot of pressure because he's from the area and people were saying, yeah, you come down here and you give speeches about everything else except this. Pravin Gordhan, when he was the Minister of Local Government before Nene Gate, he dedicated a lot of time to trying to resolve this. The lady who's the head of the demarcation board, I forget her name now, put a lot of time into that.
Why does it matter to the people of Makado and
this is why it matters. If you think about it, I'll make an example with... let's take where I come from, where my mother lives. It's a place called Hammanskraal.
Mm-hmm.
Hammanskraal immediately after 1994 fell into the northwest because it used to be the former Bophuthatswana. But the municipalities there had no revenue. The rates and taxes were poorly paid and so forth. So that municipality couldn't build you roads and da 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 and all sorts.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, the ANC, I'm being a little bit cynical, but the ANC realized that, oops, we don't have enough black people in Tswane. So the people of Hammanskraal were incorporated into the Tswane municipality.
Right, no longer the northwest.
No longer the northwest. The Tswane municipality is a metro, has quite a bit of cash. And so,
well, not now, they're in huge debt.
But they had quite a bit of debt. And suddenly, in the village where my mother lives, the roads were built, lots of new projects, there's trees planted along the main roads, street signs gone up. I see my mother has a new street name. All kinds of things. The money is there to achieve a lot more.
And who could have a problem with that?
No one would have a problem with that.
Absolutely.
So the big thing about what is going on in Malamulele is essentially people saying, I want to be part of that municipality because they deliver more. They've got more money. It's taken on all kinds of other aspects. People saying, oh, no, that's the former Venda, and oh, that's the former Gazankulu. And so we are dominated by the former Venda leaders or the Vendas, or we are dominated by the
Tsonga.
It's complex. There's many layers that keep on coming up and coming up. There's also political contestation. For example, we've been talking about the EFF and the fact that the EFF is organizing in the area. The ANC in the area was divided, is divided still, with some saying, let's go this way, some saying, unity, let's say what the leaders say must go, must be the thing. So it's a mengel moose, as the Africans would say.
And in these situations, it's also true to say that a lot of bad people get involved because they see an opportunity. So a lot of bad people come in, and these might just be violent idiots. They might be people who have a much more sinister agenda. You don't know.
Yeah,
but in the fury, in the mess, these people can take advantage where they want to as well.
And I'm sure they are. I'm sure there are many, many people who are taking advantage. Remember, this is not the first flash of this thing. It's happened over the past 5 years. I'm sure if we go and do a count, it's not just the 13 schools. Last year, there were about 5 schools, I remember, that were torched in a similar manner. The situation is intolerable in that area, and I think it needs real leadership now to intervene and say enough. How do we live in South Africa? The people who we are talking about live in Limpopo. Why is it this is such a major issue that you have to burn schools? The local people can't be wanting their kids to not go to school. When will those schools be repaired? At whose cost? And at what cost to the children who have to go to those schools? I don't understand it. It's an indictment on all of us that this can happen.
All right, just finally, Julius says that this next election is down to the ANC and EFF. He's discounting all the other political parties. What does that mean for them?
I think what you said about the 50,000 people, 40,000 people filling up Orlando Stadium, and the fact that the EFF is feeling very buoyed up by mm-hmm. by what it sees as support, growing support for it, and rightly so, is making him, and I think would make many leaders start thinking that they are bigger than what they are. But I would say that sort of boast should wait until August 3. I wouldn't totally discount the DA. I think part of the schizophrenia of the EFF makes a lot of people say, I like these guys and how they're holding President Zuma to account, for example, in parliament. But do I want them running my municipality, or do I want them doing this and so forth? So it's not a clean, clear, prognosis. I think that don't discount the DA. I think the DA is going through a tough time. I don't think its leader, Musi Mamane, has stepped up to the game as well as that. And
he's
so,
also a bit schizophrenic.
But there is a bit of schizophrenia there. But that said, I don't think the DA, with its machinery, with its polling, with its ability to see what's happening on the ground, should be discounted. But this is election season, so you expect Julius Malema to say, it's me and the big kahuna, we're going head to head, and to say, these ones, they're just nothing. And so, yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Justice. As always, a very interesting episode of The Burning Platform with Nando's, and we will see you next week.
Absolute pleasure to be here, guys.
I look forward to winning that bet for the country. Because if I win that bet, it's good news for all of us.
It's good news for all of us. I want you to win.
The only person who will lose if that bet comes my way is Justice. if he ends up not winning, or if he ends up keeping his money, let's say, the whole country loses.
No, we're all losers.
All right, thank you, Justice. There we go.
Absolutely.
The Burning Platform.
Burning Platform, fired up by Nando's on cliffcentral.com.